Well, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL podcast. I'm at Williamson NFL. I urge you to check out the rest of the Locked On Network. My man John Ledyard and company are kicking some butt on the Locked On NFL Draft Show. All the team podcasts are roaring along as well, even though it's the off season. And check out all the Locked On NBA stuff that's going on. You probably, if you are an NBA fan, I personally am not, but that's all right. So, much like yesterday, I'm going to talk Patriots today. If you missed yesterday's show, I did a synopsis, I think that's the right word, of what I would kind of, how I kind of viewed the Eagles' upcoming offseason. I'm going to do the same thing today with Patriots. The rest of the week, we will do Mike Renner Wednesdays, as usual. We will do Twitter Thursday on Friday again, because we have a guest Thursday. My man Noah from NDT Scouting, who I've been doing a lot of work with, and that's where this Patriots article you can find. You can read exactly what I wrote about the Patriots offseason that we're going to discuss, and I'm using that as a blueprint for today's show, so check that out at NDT. Anyways, Jonah's going to be on Thursday, and he just did a really good article about this cornerback class. He compared them to current NFLers, so we're going to do a show on corners. So if your favorite team, and there's a lot of them, need corners, and this is a pretty good corner draft class, I highly urge you to check out Thursday's show. And get your Twitter questions in as the week goes on. We'll do Twitter Thursday on Friday again. So that's just how the week's shaping up. The Patriots, though. Man, I mean, really interesting team. Dynasty, no doubt. Easily should have won the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, easily could have lost last Super Bowl. Always in the Super Bowl. Always in the AFC Championship game. Dominate the AFC East. You're not tuning in to listen to me to hear those things. Brady's the GOAT. Belichick's the GOAT. Gronkowski, to me, is the GOAT. But, unlike last year, this team doesn't have nearly the draft and salary cap flexibility capital to rework their roster. Remember last year, I mean, they traded for Brandon Cooks and they made a ton of trades in the draft and they signed Stephon Gilmore and brought in Rex Burkhead amongst a lot of other dudes. So they have a lot less flexibility, fluidity with their roster than they did a year ago. And last year was kind of odd for them. They also have a great habit for bringing in the Chris Longs of the world. You know, the guys late in their careers that are once great players or former first-round picks that have had nice careers but want to play with a winner. They go to New England on a discounted rate. That is a great thing, a pipeline that I'm sure that they will look to explore as free agency, not dwindles down, but not obviously that first rush of free agency. There will be a lot of people wanting to come to New England as usual, and Belichick will get them at discount rates. So those are some great assets. I mean, nobody's crying for the Patriots, but most of what I'm going to say on this podcast is pretty much negative. And I'm not saying Brady or Belichick or any of those guys is dwindling down or ain't what they used to be. That absolutely isn't true. And when you have those two, you know, again, no one's crying for the Patriots. That makes up for so many other areas of weakness on the roster. And we saw that this year. I mean, the roster ended up being a lot weaker than I expected it was when the season started. When the season started, I was one of those guys that thought this was like 14, 15, 16 team, you know, winning, 16 win team. You know, I thought that at worst they'd be 14-2. And as the season went on, they ended up with more and more warts, and injuries happen, of course, but I thought they were a loaded roster, as good as I've ever seen going into last year. Right now, I kind of feel the opposite. I feel like they have some cap space, you know, but right now they're, as it stands right now, they're kind of at the bottom of the league in available cap space. Right now I think they have about $14 million to spend, which isn't very much and goes quick. They will release Martellus Bennett, Dwayne Allen, David Harris, and those guys are making some money, but they're not gigantic cap savings for the three of them. They added the Niners' second-round pick in the Garoppolo trade. I'd rather have Jimmy Garoppolo, the highest-paid player in the league, than a mid-to-early second-round pick. That's for sure. But New England's also going to be picking 30, like we talked about with the Eagles yesterday. They're going to be picking 31st in every round, and they don't have a 4th, a 5th, or 7th round picks. So they only have 5 choices right now, none in the top 30. So they got 31, they got wherever the Niners pick in the second round. What's that, probably the 12th pick or so, 10th pick or so in the second round. They have their late 2nd, their late 3rd, and then they have a 6th. You know, so they don't have much in the way of draft capital. And we know this team moves around a lot on draft. And maybe, you know, maybe they'll have to trade back a couple times and pick up a bunch of third rounders and things like that. I don't know. I mean, because I think now more than in years past that the bottom of their roster, which they put a lot of emphasis on, you can make this team easier than you could have a year ago is basically where I'm going with that. They do get some guys back from injury, as all teams do, but they have some big ones. Dont'a Hightower, Marcus Cannon, one of the better right tackles in the league. Julian Edelman, Malcolm Mitchell, Shea McClellan, who I could, you know, take or leave, but they could have used him. And 2 third-round picks that a lot of people, including myself, were really high on right after the draft and were kind of shocked that they ended up in the, you know, where they did, that New England was able to land a tackle with some talent, Antonio Garcia, and an edge rusher with some talent, Derek Rivers. So that's a nice haul to get back. Hightower, Cannon, Edelman, Mitchell, McClellan, Garcia, Rivers. So that's a lot. I mean, that would have gone a long way at the end of last year. But again, everyone has injuries. But they also have their share of free agents, too. Amendola, Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead. There are 3 offensive tackles besides Cannon. Nate Solder has been a fixture there. Waddle. Cameron Fleming. Those two rotated a lot at the right tackle position when Cannon was out. And the other free agent of note is Malcolm Butler, which I probably don't need to tell you. I give him about a 0.001 chance of returning to New England. So that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot to just digest there. I mean, think about the guys coming back, the guys whose contracts are up. I didn't even mention Gronkowski. I mean, he's talked about retirement. I don't believe it. But what if he only plays one more year? What if Brady only plays one more year? What if this roster is Josh McDaniels is in charge of the Patriots 1 year from now without Gronk, Brady, or Belichick? They could be one of the worst teams in the league. You know, I mean, like, this roster really isn't that good. And we will get into that now a lot heavier, and we'll break down every position. So you start a quarterback, and Brady's MVP, and he's a superstar, and maybe he does play 3 more years. But it wasn't long ago at all that this team had Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy G, Tom Brady. And what'd they get for those guys? An early second-round pick and Philip Dorsett. You know, that was their return for 2 guys, one of which is now the highest-paid player in the league, and the other, I think, will be a long-term starter in this league. I'm not saying he's going to the Hall of Fame or be a top-10 guy, but if I'm the Colts, I'm shopping Jacoby Brissett the second I get Luck back, and I think he would be a starter for a lot of teams. You know, like, if I were the Cardinals, I wish I had Jacoby Brissett. If I was the Patriots, I wish I had Jacoby Brissett. That's kind of my point here. Go to drafthistory.com, pull off the Patriots. They have a history of using second, third round picks on Garoppolo, Brissett, those type of guys. They draft quarterbacks high through the Brady era. And as happens to all of us, Brady is now older than ever. And that need is greater. I mean, he's closer to retirement now than he was yesterday or 2 years ago or whatever. So history shows us that the Patriots, and they do have Hoyer, who could start a game if you have to, will probably use maybe one of those top 3 picks, you know, those 3 top, the picks between 31 and 63, they have 3 picks in that range. I wouldn't be shocked at all if one of those is a quarterback, which is fine. I'm not saying that's wrong. But if you do that, that means you didn't draft a corner, a tackle, or a running back. You know what I mean? You're using it for a player that's not helping you now. So, that's the status of quarterback, which, again, they're right there with Green Bay as the best quarterbacks in the league when their guy's healthy. But the situation's frightening after that. I mentioned Burkhead and Lewis are free agents. I almost don't feel like talking about their running backs because they always just find guys. You know, I think Lewis will probably be back. Whatever they do at running back, they'll have three or four dudes, James White, you know, as well. And they'll make it work. And they'll get a lot of production out of those guys. And they'll rotate them in. So the running backs I have no qualms with. Mentioned the offensive line. Besides Shaq Mason, I don't love their interior trio. I mean, I think they could use a guard slash center. And Dante Scarnecchia, I mean, gets more from average talent than I would say any line coach I can remember. You know, he'll coach these guys up, and Brady makes up for it as well. Getting the ball out, understanding blitzes, you know, moving in the pocket. But Cannon will come back at right tackle. And like I said, though, you got three offensive tackles, which is a high-priced position, even for the Flemings of the world as swing tackles, or, you know what I mean, Waddles. You know, they're going to make money. They're not going to be cheap wherever they go. I bet Solder comes back, and that's just a total hunch. But I bet he gives them another year and then maybe retires. And that would be great for New England. You know, have a bookend situation of Cannon and Solder again, Mason. But you better draft somebody again, unless you're that happy with Garcia, you know, the third round pick a year ago, who we don't know anything more about than when they picked him, but has some ability. So that's far from ideal. And like I said, the running backs I'm not worried about, but they're going to have to use some sort of resources to either bring back Burkhead, Lewis, or two other dudes, you know, I mean, whoever that those question marks are. Probably won't draft one high. They show us that. Tight end, they got the GOAT, and Gronk's as good as ever. I'm going to assume he comes back, but they play a lot of double, triple tight end sets. They use a lot of bodies at that position. They better find somebody to be Gronk's. It's almost like the quarterback position. You know, I mean, what else do you got besides the superstar? And Gronk's been injured throughout his career, you know, I mean, without a doubt. And if he's considering retirement now, do you only get him for one more year, two more years? So you need a guy that can play snaps like they wanted from Allen and Bennett, but those guys were disasters. And maybe you want a young guy, too, you know, that's going to be the heir apparent. I mean, that's a problem. Amendola is up. I would imagine, I can't see him playing for anybody else. Maybe he signs a one-year deal at a cheap rate. Okay. Wide receivers I'm pretty comfortable with. Cooks, Malcolm Mitchell, Edelman returns. So, on offense, really wide receiver was the only position not of need to some degree. That's a worry, man. That's a worry. The defense. We'll work from the back to the front. Because the Patriots have shown, they're a heavy man team. They've shown, and some of it's because they're so good and they don't draft early, that they put their money in the back end. McCourty, Gilmore, you know, they want corners. I mean, they invested in Revis back when. They will spend money on cover people. And they want versatile guys, and they play a lot of defensive backs. You'll see six, even seven on the field. But they don't have a replacement at all for Butler. I mean, Gilmore's going to be the number one. Rowe's okay. He got exposed, you know, but he's also a big guy. They have some slot corners that are okay, but I don't trust. You know, if you're going to play a lot of man coverage and you don't rush the passer well, which is how they're built, you better be good at two, three corners deep. I mean, if I'm putting a chip down right now, their safeties are fine. The safeties are really good. But if I'm putting a chip down right now, what position will the Patriots draft with their first pick whenever they make it? It's definitely corner. And as we will discuss with Jonah in a couple days, it is a good draft for that, and I think there'll be someone available. But that's a rookie first-round pick, presumably, starting, you know, right now. Go. You know, it's a little frightening. Second level. Hightower returns. Good. Needed. He's a big money player for them. He's a good player. Van Noy will probably play a lot of snaps again, too. But they're slow. I mean, not that Hightower's slow, but this team is collectively slow at the second level. Team speed is a real worry for me on defense, especially at linebacker. I really feel like they could use a lighter, fast, former strong safety turned linebacker in the box player. And I know Chung sort of fits that mold, but more linebacker-ish than Chung that can really run. And I don't see it on the roster. That would be a big addition. Now, they look slow to me in the Super Bowl. They've looked slow all year. The biggest need's corner. But the pass rush has not been good for quite a while, really, especially off the edge. They like Flowers, as they should. I think Flowers is a very good, almost great player. But he's not a true speedball off the edge. You know, I mean, he's a versatile, move him all over the line guy and a valuable piece at that. But they could use the 6'5", 255, 260-pound, long-levered, scary pass rusher that can run past you or use power. They don't have anything like that. Somebody to complement Flowers. I think that's a huge need. And they've gotten away with it exceedingly well over the years. And those dudes don't last to the 30, 31st, 32nd pick. So that's why they're designed like they are. And the interior penetrators, the Aaron Donald, Geno Atkins types, or the Namakong Sues, you know, I'm talking about prospects, or Gerald McCoys, they don't last that long either. So their defensive tackles are run stuffers. And they're good ones. You know, I really like Brown. But they could probably use another one there too. And if they could find, it's a pretty good defensive tackle draft. And they're not going to go real early, but I do think you'll get some nice defensive tackles from what I've gathered from the second half of round one, early round two. That could be difference makers. That could be penetrators that you could get more out of. That could be interior forces on throwing downs, which is something they really don't have. So again, I mean, where are we comfortable on the defensive side of the ball? On the offensive side of the ball, I said wide receiver. On the defensive side of the ball, I would say safety and some spots, you know, Gilmore, Hightower, Brown, Flowers. But they still need a lot. And yes, this team will work some magic. They'll get some guys on the cheat. Brady and Belichick will make, you know, chicken stew out of chicken, you know what. That's all great. But, and I'm not implying the window's closing here, but it might be creaking shut. You know, I mean, this offseason, I have a hard time thinking that their roster is going to be a lot better than it was when the season began. I mean, I'm sure it won't be. And they just don't have a ton of resources to make that. So that's the state of the Patriots. No one is crying for the Patriots. I mean, it's an unbelievable run. It's one of the best things in sports history. But this is, especially by their standards, tumultuous times to some degree.